From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week, on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the president speaks, but is he making sense? Europe begins to see the light on COVID, but what about the U.S.? And a proposal in Indiana might make preaching the gospel illegal. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a Christian husband, constitutional conservative, and Reagan Republican. On Thursday's edition of our Washington Watch Live program, heard on many of these same stations, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins began the show talking about President Biden's press conference marking 1 year in office. Here's how Tony got things going.
After President Biden went nearly 80 days without a press conference, members of the press yesterday were eager to finally have a crack at the president. And in some ways, the president didn't disappoint, offering some lines that won't soon be forgotten. Among them, a statement that effectively gave Russian President Vladimir Putin permission to make a minor incursion into Ukraine.
Russia will be held accountable if it invades, and it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion and then we end up having to fight about what to do and not do, etc.
Are you saying that a minor incursion by Russia into Ukrainian territory would not lead to the sanctions that you have threatened? Or are you effectively giving Putin permission to make a small incursion into the country?
Good question. That's how it did sound like, didn't it?
Joining me now to talk about the president's remarks yesterday and more is U.S. Congressman Pat Fallon, who serves on the House Armed Services Committee and also on the Oversight Committee. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Texas. Congressman, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate it. God bless.
So let me ask you this question, Congressman. What is a minor incursion?
You know, that's what I'm sure Vladimir Putin is wondering, too, is seizing the Crimea, which he did in 2014. Is that a minor incursion? Is stealing a few provinces from Georgia, which he did in 2008. Is that a minor incursion? And maybe Putin thinks that if he just takes, you know, a third of the Ukraine, takes the eastern Ukraine, maybe that's a minor incursion and that'll be okay with Joe Biden. That was a complete and utter disastrous press conference in many ways, but that was probably the biggest mistake, and that may be the one that'll go down in history.
Well, speaking of Russia, it was recently announced that they will be hosting joint naval exercises with China and Iran. What do we know about that, and what are your thoughts?
Well, that's the biggest concern we have, you know, on the Armed Services Committee, Tony, is what if, you know, the nightmare scenarios, if the Chinese communists were to cross over and try to invade Taiwan synchronously with Russia attacking Ukraine, what would be the United States response? And Joe Biden has not signaled strength. Let's be very honest about it. This shouldn't be a partisan issue. This is an American issue. If he had signaled strength, I don't think that we'd be having this conversation right now. But when you signal weakness and wokeness, you don't know. All bets are off. You saw the disaster in Afghanistan. It was an absolute catastrophe. And I find it interesting that the Chinese were not they weren't taking their saber and rattling it under the 4 years of President Trump, nor was Putin. And that is very telling.
Yeah, we were just discussing yesterday the Open Doors USA, their annual report on religious persecution. The persecution of Christians is where they focus. And for the first time in a long time, North Korea was bumped from its number one position and replaced by Afghanistan. Afghanistan now being the most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian. You cannot decouple that from U.S. foreign policy.
No, there's no doubt. And I asked Tony, Secretary Austin and General Milley directly at an Armed Services Committee meeting, could they guarantee the American people that there were 5,000 scumbag prisoners being held at Bagram? And when Biden made the decision to draw down from 2,500 troops to 600, the military told him they couldn't hold Bagram, the embassy, and Kabul Airport, so they abandoned Bagram. Those 5,000 prisoners were there. They escaped soon thereafter. And I asked, can you guarantee the American people that none of those 5,000 were part of the murder of 13 of our service members? And they could not. And then I also asked, could you guarantee the American people that those 5,000 weren't part of the 70,000, most of which we didn't know who they were, that came to the United States? And they said they could not. That's what we're talking about here. And elections have consequences. And this has been just a disaster on the domestic front and internationally.
Pat, I want to go back to the president's press conference yesterday, another remark that he made that's gotten some attention. Play clip number four of the president, please.
Look, I didn't overpromise, but I have probably outperformed what anybody thought would happen. The fact of the matter is that we're in a situation where we have made enormous progress.
Is the president dwelling in a parallel political universe?
Tony, that is just sheer and utter delusion. I mean, he's tried to inject roughly, if he had his way, about $6 trillion into the economy. And all it did was create the greatest rise of inflation we've seen in 40 years. Not since 1981 have we seen this kind of inflation. And I doubt the 7% number is accurate when you consider, you know, that fuel's up 50%. Home heating is up 30%, used cars up 25%, foodstuffs and meat about 15 to 20%, homes 13 to 30%. So it's been, again, I keep saying catastrophe and disaster, but that's what's happened here. We have a supply chain crunch. We have a labor shortage and our economy's not growing. The jobs numbers in December missed the mark by 56%. And that's what you're seeing. You saw the results of what the American people really thought in November and the elections in New Jersey and Virginia and some of the special elections across the country. And you're seeing it now in the polls. And I think in November, we're not going to have a red wave. We're going to have a red tsunami.
Congressman Fallon, here's a clip of the president responding to a question about the midterm elections and whether or not he thought they would be illegitimate if states have their way.
I'm not saying it's going to be legit. It's the increase in the prospect of being illegitimate is in direct proportion to us not being able to get these reforms passed.
So what he's telling the American people, if the Democrats can't federalize the elections, then the outcome is not legitimate?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. And of course, every time they don't get their way with, you know, horrible pieces of legislation like H.R. 1 and H.R. 4, and then their attempt to stuff a bill that was pretty innocuous about NASA and adding that and trying to put those bills and, you know, resuscitate them through that trick. It's unbelievable that they would say that you're trying to save democracy. First of all, we're a representative republic, and you don't save democracy by putting your thumb on the scale and taking the state's rights away. By the way, their constitutional rights to run the elections as they see fit and have the DOJ become an overlord, where if you just make a minor change, you need their approval. You want felons to vote immediately upon release from prison. That's unconstitutional. That violates the 14th Amendment, Section 2. And you want to eviscerate voter ID, have universal mail-in ballots, and then force the Treasury to give any donation of $200 or less is matched by the U.S. taxpayer times six. This is absurd. This is something that if it passed, Tony, that would threaten our representative republic.
Agreed. It failed last night in the Senate. Then there was an attempt to change the filibuster rules. They had a filibuster in the Senate since the very beginning of the Senate. That failed when two Democrats said, no, we're not changing the rules. Kyrsten Sinema and our friend from West Virginia. The question here. You've had Chuck Schumer for the last year using this threat of nuking the filibuster as kind of a saber-rattling, threatening Republicans. He's now lost that. Did Chuck Schumer overstep last night?
There's no doubt about it. It was a huge tactical and strategic error. And I find it interesting because I did an interview about 3 days ago and found a quote from 2005 by none other than Chuck Schumer saying that if the filibuster was removed, it would threaten our democracy. So which is it, Chuck? You know, clearly he has principles of convenience, where when the filibuster protects his interests and his worldview, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. But when it stalls his agenda, it's destroying democracy. That's very inconsistent. And of course, we know he was either lying in 05 or he's lying now.
Yeah, I think strategically for the Democrats, that was a really bad move last night. I think Mitch McConnell is the winner there. I say that I saw this as a massive game of political chicken, and Chuck Schumer's left with nothing but feathers, because I think he no longer has that threat over the head of Republicans. And I think now you will see Mitch McConnell be able to stand up to pretty much every agenda item of this administration.
Yeah, you know, with Joe Manchin, you know, he's from a very red state. And, you know, there's talk of him maybe running for governor, going back and running for governor. I don't know exactly what he wants to do, but that's certainly a possibility. And if he were to bow to all of the left's agenda, he would have absolutely no chance. He'd have a snowball's chance in Hades if he did that. So Sinema is a surprise, quite frankly, and we're very fortunate. But I think what we're going to see in November is a repeat of what we just saw in you know, a few months back, where there's going to be a swing of about 12 to 16 percentage points. And Democrats, there's a lot of seats, Tony, that are plus four, Democrat plus six, plus eight. And those are going to, they're going to be lost. And I think we could pick up as many as 50 seats. I'm not saying we will. There's a long time between now and then.
Right.
But Leader McCarthy was asked the other day if he had three wishes, what would they be? And he said that the election is today, the election is today, and the election is today.
Very true. Because in politics, a day is a lifetime and a lifetime a day. Congressman Fallon, great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tony. God bless you.
All right, you too. Folks, stick with us. We're coming back on the other side of the break to talk about how the UK is picking up Plan B on COVID. That's next. Don't go away.
Stay informed with what's going on in our nation's capital, make a difference in your community, and keep your friends and family up to date with Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app. This tool serves to bring Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. With the Stand Firm app, you will have all our content available at your fingertips and will conveniently be able to stay up to date throughout your busy day. The Stand Firm app will give you access to a variety of resources, such as our most recent radio programs, social media posts, and publications. Additionally, you will have the opportunity to take action and make your voice heard by contacting your elected officials on issues that most concern you. Visit the App Store on your smartphone or mobile device and search Stand Firm to download FRC's Stand Firm app, or by going to frc.org/app.
To Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. So good to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Also, tomorrow we have our Pro-Life Con. You want to tune in for that. Find out more, go to FRC.org. All right, starting next week, people in England will no longer be required to wear face masks, nor will they be required to work from home. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson told members of Parliament yesterday that in light of the data, I guess that would be the science, the country's Plan B COVID restrictions will expire next Thursday, January the 27th, and that the government will trust the judgment of the British people. What a novel idea. And the UK is not alone. Other countries such as Spain, Portugal, and others are looking to switch to a different COVID-19 game plan, which means freedom. Will more follow suit? What about the U.S.? Here to talk about the direction other countries are headed is Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, who is the professor of medicine at Stanford University and one of the authors of the Great Barrington Declaration, a statement advocating an alternative approach to COVID-19 pandemic. Dr. Bhattacharya, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
All right. Can you tell us about some of the approaches to COVID that internationally that we're seeing now that are catching your attention?
Well, the news out of the UK is absolutely stunning. Essentially, what's happened is that they have realized that all of these policies that are aimed at slowing the spread of COVID have failed. That in fact, COVID is a respiratory disease that spreads very rapidly, despite our best efforts to keep people apart from one another. It spreads, especially with Omicron in particular. It spreads, the right response then isn't to try to, you know, stick your finger in the dike when the flood is coming over. The right thing is to protect vulnerable people while letting people who are at low risk from severe disease from COVID, which is basically most of the population other than the elderly and some folks with chronic diseases, to just go on with their lives while still working to protect the vulnerable.
Dr. Bhattacharya, it appears that the U.S. is taking a different approach, while other countries, and Boris Johnson, in his comments yesterday, said we're going to allow the British people freedom. We'll expect them to be personally responsible, but we're going to move toward greater liberty and protecting that going forward with policies. Here's a clip from President Biden yesterday at the press conference when he was asked about a changing definition of fully vaccinated.
Even some of your own medical advisors say that people aren't fully protected unless they have that third shot, a booster. Why hasn't this White House changed the definition of fully vaccinated to include that third booster shot? Is it because the numbers of fully vaccinated Americans would suddenly look a lot less
impressive? No, it's not that at all. This has become clearer and clearer. And every time I speak of it, I say, if you've been vaccinated, get your booster shot. Everybody get the booster shot. It's the optimum protection you can have.
Is that what the science tells us?
Well, let me just say, I think it's more than just a medical question here. The whether you're fully vaccinated is now linked in many states to mandate policies that you have to be fully vaccinated in order to keep your job, in order to be able to go to restaurants, to museums, to libraries. A lot of states and cities have implemented policies that essentially make people that are not fully vaccinated second-class citizens. To then turn around and say, okay, you have to get the booster to get this, essentially creates instantaneously with the snap of a finger, a large class of people, based on the policies that Biden administration has pushed, turned into second-class citizens. So I think it's more than simply just a medical question.
Did he answer that question, though, yesterday? I listened to the press conference, and I wasn't sure that we got a clear answer from the administration if they're going to change the definition.
No, they didn't. They didn't give a clear answer. The protection that Omicron, that the booster provides against Omicron, is less than the protection that it provided against Delta. Now, I do believe that there are people for whom the booster is the right medical decision.
Right.
And so for that, I'm fine with what President Biden said around that. But I think the key question that he was asked, what is the definition of fully vaccinated? He did not answer. And it's because it's not simply a medical question. And by evading it, he evaded the central issue. Why are we still having these policies, these mandate policies that keep people out of regular life? It doesn't make any sense. It's just created harm without actually advancing public health.
Especially when you see European countries that, you know, historically haven't been so protective of individual freedom as the United States have. It seems like it's like upside down.
Yeah, I mean, there are still some countries in Europe that are still have these, like Austria, and Austria actually made a policy where if you were unvaccinated, you weren't even allowed to leave your house for a while. It was a crazy policy. But much of Europe is starting to open up, especially the UK is leading the way. And there's no reason the United States shouldn't be leading. And of course, there are states in the United States, Florida, Nebraska, a few other states that are, and Virginia most recently, that are starting to open up and lead the way out of this pandemic. But the federal government has continued along this sort of failed strategy to try to stop the disease from spreading at great harm to the American population.
Dr. Bhattacharya, there's a study that came out from a U.S. study, I think it was connected with the CDC, showing that previous infection of COVID-19 was actually better protection against the Delta variant, which was a very significant variant, than those who were vaccinated alone. Are we going to see the CDC start to factor natural immunity into their equation?
I would hope so, because the scientific evidence on this is absolutely overwhelming. If you recovered from previous infection, you have very substantial protection, both against reinfection and also against severe disease. Yet we've ignored that fact. Even in the press release around this study published by the CDC, you could see how reticent the CDC and public health folks were to acknowledge this basic fact, because they're afraid that if you realize that you might not want to get vaccinated. Well, I believe that the right way to tell people about scientific evidence is to tell people this about the scientific evidence. Yeah. Don't use it to manipulate people.
You treat them like adults. Give them the facts. Let them make the decisions.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think you continue to see the CDC use science in service of an agenda that they have about whether it's vaccination or social distancing or whatnot. The goal shouldn't be to manipulate people to do what you want them to do. The goal should be to provide people with good evidence so they can make good decisions in their lives.
Because that will have long-term repercussions. way beyond what we have forgotten about COVID, that will still be around.
Absolutely. I mean, trust, public trust once lost is almost impossible to get back. And public health relies on public trust.
You're right. Dr. Barachati, I've got to leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us. Always great to talk with you.
Thank you.
All right. Folks, coming up next, a direct attack on religious freedom in the United States. We talk about it next.
In a culture of gender confusion, there aren't many examples of godly manhood. But men need a model of leadership they can follow. Stand Courageous Men's Ministry seeks to help men develop a strong biblical character, build and rebuild relationships, and make commitments that will move men closer to God's good purpose and design. Men who will stand courageous. Find an event near you at standcourageous.com.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So good to have you with us. The website, tonyperkins.com. Lots of resources there for you on the website. Now, you may have come across some of the following international news stories. A Christian parliamentarian in Finland, who actually will be on trial next week, who could be jailed for 6 years for tweeting a Bible verse from Romans on homosexuality. A new law in Canada that just took effect on the 7th. Of this month that could result in a 2 to 5 year jail sentence for anyone who says something that is deemed to repress or reduce non-heterosexual attraction or sexual behavior. If you think these sorts of incidents won't find their way into the United States, well, you would be mistaken. It's here. Joining us now to tell us about a looming threat in his community in Indiana. Of all places in Indiana, is Dr. Steve Viers. He is a senior pastor of Faith Church in West Lafayette, Indiana. Pastor Steve, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, Tony.
Now, first, tell us about your biblically-based counseling ministry that your church has had, if I'm not mistaken, for about 45 years.
That's right. My predecessor, Bill Good, our senior pastor and a medical doctor, started a biblical counseling center for people in our community. We just want to show love to people in our town. So if there are people struggling with their marriages or family issues or finances or anger, worry, fear, depression, whatever it might be, we've just trained people in our congregation to open the Word of God to help people and just try to lovingly come alongside them and show them what the gospel says about such matters. Now, all these years later, we have 32 men and women, number of physicians, number of university professors, pastors, godly men and women. We come together every Monday, and we offer 60 to 80 hours of biblical counseling services free of charge to anybody who voluntarily wants to come in. We're very clear about what we believe, so it's called Faith Biblical Counseling Ministries. Every person who comes is asked to sign a form that says, I understand that the counsel I'm about to receive is based on the counselor's interpretation of the Bible. Our counselees are told that if at any point you're uncomfortable, please just raise your hand and we will immediately stop talking because we don't believe in coercion. Tony, it's been so popular in our community that even though we have 32 people doing this, we can't get ahead of the waiting list. We've always had a waiting list and we've never advertised, but we're just trying to show love to our community by lovingly sitting down and talking with people if they would like to hear what the scripture says.
Well, Pastor Steve, having served as a pastor and having a counseling ministry in our church, there's a lot of hurting people, and counseling can become very costly. This is a Bible-based approach to counseling, which most pastors do. There are some that are actually trained and licensed, but most are non-licensed counselors that simply share with people what the scripture has, because as believers, we believe that the Bible has the answers to life. And so we walk people through that. That now is in jeopardy in West Lafayette, Indiana. Explain why.
Well, a number of conversion therapy bans have been passed throughout the United States.
Now, let me stop you right there. But let's explain that. What this is these conversion bans. Now, this is because there's been some terminology changed here over the years. We're talking about you and your counselors. If someone comes in is struggling with sexual attraction, same-sex attractions, or gender dysphoria. You're just kind of walking through what the scripture has to say. It's called talk counseling. I mean, you're just kind of walking them through. But that's caught up into this new definition that they have there in West Lafayette, is it not?
And a number of places. They're using the term conversion therapy. We have never practiced conversion therapy. It was initiated by the secular community. It's barbaric. It's rank behaviorism. We would never do that. But Tony, that's part of the trick here. That's why it's so important for listeners to carefully read the definitions, because it's deceptive. Because the term conversion therapy, that's the dog whistle. But then if you look at our ordinance that's being proposed by our city council and many others, they've widely broadened the definition that would certainly include a parent, a small group leader, a pastor, a biblical counselor, simply showing a minor what God's word has to say about human sexuality. And in our case, the city government is threatening to fine us $1,000 a day if we would dare show a minor what the word of God has to say about these matters.
Now, as I read the ordinance that was introduced back around, I think, in November, again in December, and it's coming up again, if I'm not mistaken, in February, is it not?
That's true. Yes, it is.
I've read the ordinance, and it's different than what we've seen in other jurisdictions around the country that banned licensed counselors. This is unlicensed, specifically going after churches, because they're really the only ones out there, the unlicensed, that are counseling from a biblical perspective. As I read it, you could be in violation of this simply by preaching or by teaching a Bible study.
Well, or even being a parent who has a child who asks you a question about human sexuality, and you, because what's interesting, if you read the definition of counseling in this ordinance, a parent does that each and every day. And so this is extremely broad. And that's part of the game that is being played here. The dog whistle is conversion therapy. Nobody practices that. Nobody believes it. It's barbaric. But the definition is so broad that it would include anybody using the word. So that's what the city council is saying.
Right.
We will not allow you to use the word of God with children. We are going to prevent children from hearing the gospel. That's where we are.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.